to Warehousing Unboxed, an IWLA podcast, where we dive deep into the issues shaping the 3PL warehouse industry. Today, we're tackling a topic that's not only timely, but absolutely critical to the future of our industry, how the upcoming election and election seasons in general impact 3PL companies nationwide. Plus, we're honored to have two returning guests who are no stranger to the intersection of government affairs and the 3PL industry. Doug Sibilla and Mark DeFabis, both seasoned experts and strong advocates for our sector, are here to share their insights with IWLA President and CEO Jay Strother. You might remember Doug and Mark from our popular government affairs episode in season one. Well, they're back to shed light on the challenges and opportunities that this election season brings to our industry. The 3PL industry is deeply intertwined with government policies and legislation, which can directly affect everything from operational costs to compliance requirements across warehouses in the United States and beyond. For instance, changes in labor laws, environmental regulations, or trade policies can lead to significant shifts in how warehouse owners and operators run their businesses day to day. Government policies can dictate the rules of the game for the entire supply chain, from how goods are imported and exported to the conditions in which they are stored and transported. Legislation on transportation infrastructure, worker safety standards, and even tax policies can either streamline operations or add layers of complexity that businesses must navigate. That's why staying informed and engaged in government affairs isn't just a good practice anymore. It's essential for the survival and success of a 3PL company. And this is where organizations like IWLA step in. We not only keep our members informed about these legislative changes, but we also advocate on behalf of the industry to ensure that our voices are heard in Washington and beyond. Our goal is to help 3PL companies thrive in a regulatory environment that is often unpredictable and always evolving. With all this in mind, today's discussion with Doug and Mark will explore how the outcome of the upcoming election can influence the regulatory environment for 3PL companies and what specific issues are on the horizon that could have a profound impact on warehouses. Please enjoy CEO of IDS Fulfillment, Mark DeFabis, CEO of People Services, Doug Sibilla, and President and CEO of IWLA, Jay Strother.
Well, thank you, Mark and Doug. Our first repeat people coming back into our podcast. So we're now in season two, and you guys did talk to us a lot in season one about the importance of advocacy and government affairs in general. But being an election year, we're going to want to dive in a little deeper into why, especially in election years, trade associations like the International Warehouse Logistics Association get involved. Why do we get involved in elections and conversations around policy and laws in election years? So Doug, I'm just going to start with you first. You're very active in our government affairs program. You've been serving on committees for a long time. You're on an executive committee. And I know you have a broad perspective on government affairs and our political action committee and our other work that we do. But can you just briefly, just to kind of level set, how government policies and regulations really are affecting the 3PL industry and why going into this election year, it's important for us to pay attention and be involved in government affairs?
Well, as they do say, elections do matter. And the way that they matter is, you know, the policies that the elected officials promote and then put into place. And you can look at different levels of that, whether it be general business policies around the tax code, more that may get into specifically our industry, and I know we're going to talk later around the worker walk-around rule, and there's a lot of regulatory, particularly then once you have the elected officials on the executive branch, they then put people in regulatory policy that then can really have an impact even outside of the normal legislature. And if you're not engaged, there's a lot of times where even well-intended legislation or a regulatory rule can have an unintended consequence because people may not really understand, you know, the nuances of the industry. For example, that we don't take title to the goods in our warehouse is a much different situation, particularly when we were fighting the issue on a recall where the FDA wanted the warehouse be responsible for a recall, even though we don't own the product. And so if you're not engaged at the various levels, whether it be educating the regulatory people or educating the elected officials, and making sure that your voice is being heard, that you're going to can end up with regulatory or regulations that are just extremely burdensome and can cause a lot of problems.
Definitely. You know, when I travel the country and visit with our members, we talk a lot about, elections and advocacy. And I like to say, we are not a Democratic or a Republican organization. We are a pro-business organization and really paying attention to the businesses our members are trying to run. And so in that vein, how does the outcome of an election typically influence the regulatory environment for our companies? What exam have you seen some examples in the past, or things you're seeing in the future that you think might happen if this election goes one way or the other? Mark, do you have anything, or
Well,
Doug?
I think if you want to focus on the current election, and really it's applicable, I think, to any of the election cycles, is the regulatory agenda that any new administration pursues will be closely aligned with their policy agenda. And in the upcoming election, I think you have as Doug alluded to, the walk-around rule at OSHA. You have the tax policies, the PRO Act. There's other regulatory issues that reflect the policies that candidates want to pursue that could be very negative towards us. So I think that you want to get out in front of this during the election cycle so that you hopefully have, that you have an ear of the regulators and can at least have some input into what the final rules look like and how they're implemented.
You know, most of the work that IDLA does is with those regulatory agencies. And we do also talk a lot to the elected officials before, after, and during the election season. There are some specific things I know we've been talking about the last couple years, but is there anything you're seeing? We mentioned the walk-around rule. Are there any specific issues or policies right now that we're focusing on that you think maybe bubbling under the surface or maybe overtly out there already that we are really working to either enact or keep from being enacted right now?
Well, I think I don't know that there's anything, the walk-around rule certainly that's in effect that we're trying to be a part of fighting. But I think more it's the kinds of things that are being discussed in the current administration, whether it's the PRO Act and trying to basically put joint employer in place, which would have a huge impact onto the 3PL industry, whether it's bringing back card check, whether it's OSHA regulations in the workplace. We now have issues with regard to temperature and others, which I think is another way to emphasize the point that Doug made, is that, oftentimes all of the 3PL industry ends up getting thrown into the same bucket with Amazon and other large warehousing companies that aren't necessarily reflective of the issues or the things that we are facing in the 3PL world. So I think you're going to see more of that where they're finding issues, whether it be Amazon or other large warehouse operators, that they're going to try to impose solutions that across the whole spectrum of warehousing that may not be to the benefit of the 3PL industry.
It's also why we at IWLA track a lot of the state issues, because what may happen in one state will migrate to another state, particularly when we look at the regulatory environment in California and how that, I'll call it disease, tends to spread across the rest of the country. And again, some of it may have, well intended, but the actual administration of those policies really gets into some issues down the road that has some terrible unintended consequences.
Yeah, and that's one reason I think IWLA is specifically in California. We've engaged a new government affairs agency that, especially in the last few weeks, here we are recording in the beginning of September, the California legislature closed at the end of August, and there was a flurry of things that were proposed, and we're still trying to sort out where all of those things fall. But a lot of those things in the years past have spread to other states, whether they skip over the flyover states and go straight to the East Coast or spread from California just a little bit east. Mm-hmm. So we are paying attention to those things. And I am grateful and thankful for the IWA Warehouse Advocacy Fund for funding a state tracker system that we've employed the last 15 months or so, and plan to even roll out more capabilities with that so our members can find out what is happening in their states. And it's also helping us find those things up front and fast, which seems to be part of the issue. If these things get, as Doug said, if they get implemented and they don't understand the third-party warehousing side of it or the reality of the business of it, it's a lot easier to change that language early in the system than it is to let it get all the way through. So I think that is important for us, especially on that state issue. Doug, you know, you've been active, and Mark too, I guess, on our fly-ins and the ways that we do engage our congressmen and elected officials. Is there a way that you see as most effective for engaging our policymakers during this season? And what are associations like us? How are we able to play that role in advocating for our industry?
Well, a couple of different ways, you know, through the government affairs and that annual fly-in where warehouse people from all over the country come in and meet hopefully with either their elected officials, Senate and House side, as well as the regulatory and executive branch, whether it be Department of Labor, FMCSA, Department of Homeland Security, FDA, et cetera. And so that, again, that we can have that as there are proposed rules, we have an opportunity to comment and discuss with the people that will either be writing the rule or writing the oversight or the legislation as well, and at least be able to get our voice heard. But in addition to that, it's important to see what happens at your local level, whether it's even being the local zoning board or the commissioners that may end up setting, you know, proposed taxes on, you know, real estate taxes on your buildings, et cetera, that can obviously have an impact in how you operate or what those margins might be. So with that, we try to encourage having people, you know, get to know their local representative, to be a resource. And we call that reverse fly-in, where hopefully you can invite them. And it's a lot easier because if they're out there looking for your vote, to do that during election season, because they want to get reelected. So they want to engage the constituents even more. And so they're obviously, it's a little easier to get their attention and have them come visit, where you can, you know, introduce them to your business. They can see who your customers are and how you support the local community, or how we support the local community. And it's just a good way to help, again, develop those relationships and be a resource, because it isn't just, you know, trying to get someone to vote a certain way. The fly-ins is really an opportunity for us to help educate. People don't know what they don't know. And it's a good opportunity for us to tell them, for us to tell our story, and hopefully end up with better rules, regulations, and legislation.
Yeah, I can't emphasize enough the importance of the face-to-face meetings and conversations with your legislative leaders and representatives, because I don't know of any of them that I've met with either in Washington or in their district that doesn't remember that. They end up remembering. I mean, those are the kinds of things that really make an impression on them. And as Doug pointed out, most legislators want to do the right thing. They want to be educated about the issues so that they can make informed decisions and make the correct decisions as they're dealing with these regulatory matters. And so you have these meetings, they'll remember it and say, oh, you know, didn't we go see somebody in this? I remember this business or this individual. And yeah, you'll have a staff member that'll follow up with you. So it is important in this matter, the face-to-face meetings, whether in D.C. or in the district.
I think both of you have good relationships with a lot of your elected officials, and you have the ability to just, you know, invite them or know their staffs well enough. But how would you recommend, and this is something IWA is working hard on right now, trying to foster that grassroots effort and get our members comfortable with inviting those congressmen to their warehouses. And we will be having a campaign this fall to try before the election to get some congressional members in their districts when they're, you know, in for their final campaigns to do that. But how have you built those relationships over time? And you know, how many times or how frequently do you see a congressman or a senator or even a local person come into your warehouses?
Well, I think for us, I try to get them in at least once in an election cycle. And in terms of developing the relationship, I mean, even for there's some that I've known for a long time, others that I'm just meeting. But I think all what you'll find is all the legislative leaders and representatives are very open to meeting anybody in their district and certainly any business in their district. That's exactly what they're all about. And we're coming up in this election cycle during election season. It's a perfect example of when they do want to get out in the district, probably more than a non-election cycle, and want to meet the constituents on the ground in their district. So that's a great opportunity. They're always looking for ways to go out, meet and greet and visit the voters, et cetera, and learn more about what's happening in their district. So it's a perfect time to do that.
Yeah, and it really starts at the local level where people may be the county commissioner, and then they may end up running for a state representative or state senator. And if you get to know them at that point, then it's a lot easier to invite them back or get to know, them and their staff. Look at, maybe there might be some campaign events. I know we just had our county fair, and a lot of the elected officials would be at the county fair. So it's even, going up and talking to them, introducing yourself, saying, what you do. And there's other, whether it be, business networking chamber events where, they may have a panel of, the regional elected officials there. And then we'd be able to meet them. That's the same thing in our fly-in, where then we try to set up those appointments. And if you're a little nervous about doing that the first time, usually we go in as a two or three, at least two or three people, including someone from Elevate, who we use to represent us in DC. But they really don't want to talk to the lobbyists. They want to talk to the constituents. So to the point where, and that's true of both the staff people as well as the elected officials. So, it's, you may have to make an effort, but it's definitely well worth it. And once you get over that initial realization that they do want to talk to you, they want to hear what the issues are out there and how it may impact the constituents, that it's really being part of the process.
And one way that IWLA is part of the process is the IWLA Political Action Committee. I know both of you have been involved in that as well. And that is a way that we get at least maybe an introduction to some of the officials who may not know us yet. Let's talk about the PAC a little bit and your experience with it and its ability to put us in front of those pro-business candidates.
Yeah, I think over the years, it's been one of our most effective ways to really, in the end, get access and get a seat at the table. I mean, let's face it, it takes money to get the access that you need. And I think over the years, when the PAC, when I first got involved with the PAC, we were very small and weren't able to make contributions of a level that would get us noticed or make an impact. And now, as we've grown that, we really have the ability to have an impact with our voice by being able to make the kind of a contribution that really does get you a seat at the table and know that you're going to be listened to in a small group.
And part of that, it does have to be personal funds, or it could be an S corp or an LLC that's a pass through, as long as the individual donating is designated on the donation. But it does give access, and it also is a way for us to support the candidates that support us and our positions and our industry. And it is a good way to at least get access, or at least have our voice be heard by going to those events. But it doesn't always mean that you actually have to give money either, because those constituent visits and other things. But so there's two separate things. There's what we can do as individuals, and then what we can do as a business. And the PAC, or Political Action Committee, is all personal contributions and donations. When we talked about the Warehouse Advocacy Fund that can do some research or help in the legal cost if we're defending a court ruling or regulation, those can be corporate dollars that can go to support that effort. So I just wanted to make sure we delineated between what the Political Action Committee can do versus what the WAF, the Warehouse Advocacy Fund, can do, because they are two different buckets and two different efforts. And there's obviously some federal election rules that we have to follow to make sure that we're doing everything appropriately.
Yeah, and I think it's important to understand how they work hand in hand. I mean, you have your PAC, which is really targeted towards election cycles and political, truly political advocacy through trying to get elected those individuals who support our positions. But then there's oftentimes, as we pointed out, where you have a regulation that's gone through that we need to fight, that we can't allow, that it's a non-political activity, but it's an advocacy effort outside of politics. And that's where the WAF comes in, whether it's joining court efforts to fight burdensome regulations, or whether it's engaging a research effort to give us the background information that we need to more effectively advocate our position on a certain policy recommendation or regulation. So they work hand in hand together. But again, as Doug pointed out, your PAC is your personal funds versus you can use your business to support the efforts of the WAF.
That's a nice segue. And you guys already mentioned before the OSHA worker walkaround rule that we are involved in the lawsuit with the U.S. Chamber and six or seven other organizations trying to make it clear that it doesn't make sense that the OSHA inspector can bring in any third party he or she deems as an expert to come walk around your warehouse, whether that be a competitor who says, "Hey, I'm an expert in warehousing, I can come through there." So we are part of that lawsuit, trying to make sense of those rules. And that's where the WAF really has come in. They have helped us and our part of the funding come through for that lawsuit. But are there other examples or anything more you guys want to say about that walk-around lawsuit or the WAF that could really shed light on how our members and our companies get involved in that?
Well, a couple other things that where the WAF has helped in the past is one of just understanding the impact specifically of our industry. And I know we've talked about updating some of the previous research that had been done, so we have an even broader understanding of just the impact that we do have, whether it be the number of employees in the various states, the payrolls, the investment, et cetera, the taxes that we pay, just so people do understand the impact that that our industry has. In addition to that, there's times when we may join other coalitions. We talked a little bit about the card check and some other very pro-union funded efforts in the regulatory side that we're in, legislative side that we're trying to fight. And those are kind of general business issues. So that's where we join with, as you mentioned, the chamber or other, the NFIB or pro-business organizations that we're one of many, as opposed to, where we use the WAF specifically is where it may be a very specific to our industry, like that worker walk-around rule, which is basically an attempt by the unions to get into various businesses and be able to promote, pro-union programs without otherwise access they would have never had. So, those are some things. We're also watching the overtime rules, that there is a recent one that was part of the normal schedule of some increases as far as what qualifies salary level for exempt. However, there's a new rule proposed January 1st that would significantly increase that to, well, I believe, over $58,000 a year, which would have a major impact on how we compensate people or how we pay the people that were considered managerial. They no longer be managerial and have to switch to hourly. So those are some things that, we're fighting at the, I guess, more industry specific. The WAF has also helped us a lot when fighting some of the potential when states start to look for tax revenues, particularly around sales tax on, storage related revenues that would encourage warehouses to go to other states. So it would be counterintuitive and counterproductive for those states to have those kind of policies, and we provided the research and the backup to be able to educate those legislators. And so far, we've been successful in deterring that kind of legislation. And again, maybe well intended, going after tax revenue, but we're able to show that it was not, they were not going to get what they thought they were going to get.
It's amazing when logic actually works. It's nice to see that it can sometimes, but I wish it happened more often. We've been hearing a lot, obviously, the media is saying how important this election year is and how people are engaged and how strange it has been. Is there anything that is giving you pause, or what you're most focused on in this election year that you think would affect our businesses the most that we haven't already talked about? Or is there something else that is keeping you up at night that this election may or may not affect?
Well, I think every election ever, somebody will say this is the most important election of our life. I think every election is important because it does set policy, especially presidential elections, will set in place policy mechanisms and approaches that are going to last for the next 4 years. And so from that standpoint, I think every election is as important as the others. I think for this election, we've talked about some specific things, but I think in general, the focus in this election very much is going to be on the economy and economic growth. And there's two separate approaches, I think, to how each of the candidates views achieving economic growth, and they're very different. So I think that's going to have the biggest impact on us as a 3PL industry, and really on us as an economy, is which one of those directions or approaches to economic growth is going to win out.
Yeah. And in particularly where, it's not just the immediate, but as they look to appoint, judges that can interpret those regulations and rules that can have an even longer term impact, downstream that can impact us for obviously multiple years to come.
Yeah, and I think that's an excellent point, because the current term of the Supreme Court, I think many of their decisions that haven't gotten very much attention are reining in the regulatory state and are really starting to clip the wings of the agencies from the not defaulting to the regulators' view of the interpreting the law, to really reining in what they can do in terms of implementing the various regulations and how far they can go.
And I think that really helps Mark by outlining kind of the policies that would be put in place, particularly around what each of the candidates believe the size and role and scope of government should be, and what that means to the day-to-day operation of our businesses and our lives, and even the cost of goods and inflation. We've seen what's happened over the last 3.5 years of just what costs have done and why, and a lot of had to do with the laws that were passed that significantly increased spending. Too many dollars chasing too few goods. Pretty basic economics of what's going to happen, and those kind of decisions are what obviously how we're going to educate our fellow employees and friends and family about how those policies impact our business, what it may mean on what we would be able to invest or not invest or growth plans, et cetera. And so that's part of what we also try to do is share those candidates that support our issues and positions and how they may impact our business and people's lives.
And I think another excellent point, Doug, because we do the same thing. I think we regularly and quarterly meet with all employees. And what I try to do in the course of those meetings is talk about I'll call the headwinds from a political standpoint that we're facing. Whether it's, I mean, our industry is a very capital intensive industry, and interest rates have a big impact. Availability of credit has a huge impact on our industry. So economic factors and policies that put place impediments on that are going to significantly hurt our ability to grow, and your employees need to know about that, as well as other legislative actions that may be happening, whether it's tax regulations or new tax bills that are coming in that are that would eliminate the deduction for depreciation and those kinds of things. All impact our ability to continue to grow our business. And that generally employees may not draw that connection directly to their livelihood from all of that. And we try to bring them up to speed to let them know exactly how some of these things are going to impact them directly.
I think that's very important. And it's one of the things in IWA's strategic plan is to try to make sure that we are driving advocacy down to the grassroots level. We have, you know, we've been very good at engaging some larger warehousing companies, some medium-sized warehousing companies, but engaging the employees of those companies or even some of our smaller members, trying to get them engaged in advocacy and understanding the importance of having a voice, either through us or on their own directly to their elected officials. What advice would you give? I mean, you both are engaged in the process already. You're paying attention every day. What advice would you give a business owner who may not have the time or have the resources around him or her to get that information? Where would you have them look? What is the best way for them to stay up to date on those rules that may affect them tomorrow?
Well, again, that's one of the functions I think that IWLA provides as a resource for, you know, helping to outline what issues are we facing, what are those positions, how might we be able to improve them, and then how, obviously, if it's necessary to advocate, might we be able to advocate? So one of just, you know, at least making sure that you're up to date on the issues that are facing us, because it's a lot of times it's like, well, I don't want to get involved in that because I don't like politics. It's like, well, you know, if you're not involved at some point, you know, other people are going to be making decisions for you. So at some point, you know, who do you want to make the decisions, or at least get the resources to try to stay informed? And that's one of the things that, you know, IWLA, both through the Government Affairs Committee, and you don't necessarily have to be on the committee to stay informed. The weekly bulletins or information that we send out, the advocacy papers or the position papers that we have on the website that outline, you know, what the issue is, why we have the position that we do, and what changes we may or may not be advocating for. So those are a couple of ways, at least, you know, someone that may be busy can still at least stay in tune or get more information as they need.
Excellent. Yeah, and I would encourage all 3PLs and special IWLA members to get active in government affairs, even with a limited amount of time. And yeah, you may say you don't like politics or you don't. Well, then don't involve yourself in that aspect of it, but be there to be a resource for education to legislators and regulators. And there's plenty of us around that can get into the politics side of it, if you will, if that's not what your fancy is. But everybody should take an interest in helping to educate those in government and regulatory positions, both nationally, locally, and statewide, on issues that are important to the 3PL industry.
Doug mentioned some of our communiques. We do IWLA does produce a 3PL Matters little down and dirty newsletter that kind of monitors the things that are truly affecting our industry. You know, there are some things that are directly affecting 3PLs specifically, and other things that are broader, like labor issues. So we kind of try to paint the picture of, you know, what is affecting our industry specifically, what is affecting business in general. And I think that's a quick read. We are going to be unveiling a couple of other tools to help our members. Probably likely we'll have a video update series that will have, you know, what's happening in government affairs this week, this month, and this election. And another thing we're bringing back for the organization, and this is an easy way to get engaged, is a letter writing tool through our website, where we will be able to talk about an issue and our members will be able to log in and type in their zip code and send directly to their elected officials at the federal level a letter saying, hey, here's why we think this is a good idea, or here's why we think this is a bad idea. And IWLA will help populate that and educate our members on that. And we're hopeful that we'll go deeper than, you know, just the leadership in the warehouses, that we will have grassroots campaigns that can help turn a tide for us. So be watching for that very soon to come back to the IWLA website. And that's, you know, all the grassroots, the strength in numbers arguments are there. And we're trying to make sure we can facilitate all of that. And at a highly informed level too. We want to make sure our members and the individuals in our member companies are up to speed on all of that. So thank you for that, guys. You know, I would like to hear just, you know, open forum. What do you think are the biggest takeaways right now? And what do you think our listeners need to understand more about the intersection of government affairs and our industry. Is there any magic bullet you think that we have out there, or any just is it just, you know, staying the course?
Well, I think you have to have consistency in your effort. You have to always be there, always have your name in front, always be talking. But I think probably in today's political environment, the most important thing that we can provide, both as an industry and individually, is keep our elected officials focused on the issues that really matter. I think I've said this many times. I think too many times we end up talking in public forums about issues that aren't really, that don't really matter in the long run. They may be the issue of the day or may impact a small group, but I think the most important thing we can do, let's keep everyone focused on the issues that are going to matter in the long run, that are going to help with economic growth, that are going to allow us to really achieve success in all of our businesses and to help pass that success along to our employees. So I think that in today's environment is the most important thing we can provide.
Yeah, I think that consistent voice of also, you know, being a resource and a logic, a reasonable person or position that, you know, able to articulate, you know, the what and the why, and try to see where we can get consensus, because we're all engaged in our communities. We want to, you know, have a nice community. We want to have clean air, clean water, things like that. So how might we all be able to work together to achieve that? And, you know, and again, it's by, you know, putting yourself out there and doing the best you can to try to help people understand your perspective. And as you do that, you can understand their perspective and, you know, hopefully get a common sense approach that, you know, can work for the benefit of the common good.
Well, gentlemen, I really do appreciate you sharing your insights and your time with us for the podcast, but also the leadership you've given IWLA in government affairs and political outreach. It's important, and I think you've demonstrated that importance today. And if anybody listening wants to get active or involved, you can call me directly at IWLA headquarters. You can send me an email, and I'm sure the gentleman on the call, plus our other active government affairs folks, would be willing to talk to you and talk you through the importance. It really is easy to get involved, and you can get involved at any level. And I'm not talking money. It's, you know, it's writing that letter. It's making that phone call. It's doing that invitation for your elected official to come to your warehouse. And we're here to help facilitate that as well. So any final words, Mark, Doug?
I would say if you're not involved, get involved. I think you'll find it rewarding. It's not as difficult as it seems, and it's more rewarding than what you would ever imagine.
And, you know, also just to encourage people to get engaged and make sure they're registered to vote. You know, we share information to our employees that, you know, here's how you check if you are registered to vote. This is how you could register to vote and so forth. And I think in closing, you know, and I know Mark and I have talked about this before, but if you're not sitting at the table, then you're going to be on the menu. And so that's another reason to get engaged.
All right. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jack.
Take care.